Well, welcome to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 2, and we left off with verse 34. And if you'll remember, what we've read was that the Lord had given them Sihon, and the Israelites had gone in and, as the King James said, smote them. And now we're going to pick up with verse 36. And this tells us where they're traveling. From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us.
This shows the faithfulness of God. When God sends you on a mission, He empowers you. Whether it looks like it or not, you don't think about that. You just do what God tells you to do, and you'll find out that you get the job done. Not any city too strong for these Israelites. The Lord delivered them all into their hand. And here again, we're telling you, look at principle. Glean the principle. If God did that for them, God does the same thing for us. God doesn't change. He's faithful. He's good for His word. If God tells you to do something, then it's a cooperative effort. And I must emphasize that. God doesn't do it for you. He doesn't expect you to do it without Him. All He wants us to do is activate so He can show Himself strong in our behalf.
Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us.
See, God would not allow them to take Esau's land, Edom. He wouldn't allow them to take Lot's descendants, Moab, and Ammon, because God had given that territory to them as an inheritance. And so, I don't know, this thing amazes me. When you get in and you look at it and you see the faithfulness of God in all these things, and yet in each one of these you find out that the people that possessed that land, they had to go in and drive the enemy out. And when God gives us something, God speaks something to us, and we have to drive the enemy out. And I'm going to tell you where that enemy is between your ears. Mm. You have to drive him out of your thinking. You have to get your thinking in agreement with the Word of God. When you think like God thinks, you'll do like God does. You follow me?
Amen.
And so we have to get that in our mind. And yet there are certain areas that God tells us to leave alone. You understand? Mm-hmm. You just don't question, you just obey. You can't go wrong doing right.
That's very good. This brings us to a test question. According to chapter 2 of Deuteronomy, God instructed the Israelites not to fight against these three countries, Esau, Moab, and Ammon. You're going to need to remember all three, Esau, Moab, and Ammon. Now, chapter 3.
Now, I might say this, Esau and Edom is actually the name of the nation, okay? It's a descendant of Esau, okay? So the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, okay?
Good, thank you. Chapter 3 documents Israel's conquests east of the Jordan River, the distribution of the conquered land, Moses' instruction to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses' assuring words to Joshua, Moses' request to enter the promised land, God's response and instructions. Now, verses 1 and 2. Then we turned and went up the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, Fear him not, for I will deliver him, and all his people, and his land, into thy hand, And thou shalt do unto him as thou did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon.
So after defeating Sihon, the king of Heshbon, the Israelites had turned to travel on the road and went to Bashan. And Og was the king of Bashan, and he came out like Sihon did. He came out to war with the Israelites with all his army. And they engaged in battle at Edrei. And the Lord told Moses, don't be afraid of them. He said, I've delivered them into your hands. And the Lord commanded Moses to do with Og what he did with Sihon. Now, a lot of people think this is cold, but they don't understand God. They think they're smarter than God. They don't know the ways of God. When God says drive the enemy out, he means all the enemy. You understand? And that includes their children, their wives, all. Get the enemy out. The evil reproduces. You produce after your own kind. And that's why God is telling them to utterly destroy these and then take possession of the land. We've been given territory to the enemy instead of driving the enemy out and taking the territory. It's time to occupy the land. And that's what he's telling them.
This is just, to me, another experience that the Israelites are having with the faithful one of God. They just had an experience of his faithfulness. And this battle has been won before it's even been started. You know, our battles, too, have been won before they even start, if we just remember the victor that lives within us.
And just for the record, Og was considered of the giants.
Yeah, wait till
we'll see this a little bit later on, okay? But just because it's a giant doesn't mean he whips you.
That's right.
It's not the size. It's your God.
Yeah.
You understand? Don't forget who your God is, and then you're not fighting a natural battle. You're fighting a spiritual battle, which will overcome the natural.
Amen. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them, 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan.
Actually, this is territory that was given to Israel. It's their territory today. God gives it to you. He doesn't take it away from you. You understand? And so you think about this just with this one king, Og, 60 cities. This is on the east side of the Jordan. Israel's possession is both east and west of the Jordan River. And if you want to know their territory, read this. This is what belongs to Israel. God gave it to them. It's not man. And all this garbage going on today about what Israel's doing, it's the other people that are occupying their territory. They're driving them out of their territory. You understand?
Yeah.
It's theirs. It's the gift of God. Don't let the enemy come in and squat on your land. You get the enemy out.
Verse 5. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, beside unwalled towns a great many. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city, but all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves.
I want you to think about this. Now, on the east side of Jordan, when they engage Sihon, they engage Og. Note this. This is fortified cities.
Yeah.
High walls. Og being giants. Okay? They saw what God did there. They saw how they supernaturally won these battles, totally annihilated and took possession of the territory. But when they crossed, got to the Jordan to get up there to where they went to send spies in the land from Kadesh Barnea, they decided they couldn't take it. They had already seen God give them fortified cities. They had already seen God defeat giants. How soon we forget. Do you understand? We have to put ourselves in remembrance of what God has done, the faithfulness of God. And this is a constant thing. You have to remind yourself every day, you know, God's faithful. God, there's no failure in God. And God would never tell me to do something that I can't do. That would be unfair. But you can't do it on your own. You can't do it out of the flesh. You have to do it God's way. You have to get the mind of God. How do we do it? You understand? That's what Joshua did with Jericho. How do you do it? How do you take the fortified city? And God will give you unorthodox ways to do it. But they always work. Because God never fails.
Amen. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side Jordan from the river of Arnon, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidonians call Sirion, and Amorites call it Shinar. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Shalka, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og, and Bashan.
This is giving you territory. Mm-hmm. You understand? All you have to do is look at the map, and you see what God gave to Israel. It's still theirs. You understand? Actually, it's God's land. But God has given them the right and says, this is your possession. So don't bash them for taking their land.
You know, I wrote down this afternoon, God calls this promised land in Ezekiel the glory of all lands. How beautiful. No wonder it's the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, the glory of all lands.
You think all through the years how people have fought to get that land. And in 1948, they were reinstated as a nation, and they've had opposition ever since. Land's been taken away from them by the UN. You understand? And so, don't think that because God gives you something, that you won't be opposed in it. You have to stand up and you defend your ground. You stake your claim on what God has given you and don't try to take what God has not given you. And so what people are doing today and what they've done through the years is trying to take what God gave to somebody else. I don't want what you have. I want what God has given me. You follow me?
I just had a conversation this morning with someone that when you follow the direction, the instruction of the Lord, you can just go ahead, as he would say, and take it to the bank. There will be opposition that comes.
Sure.
Immediate opposition. And you have to be willing to adhere to the word of the Lord. The Israelites had to be willing to go and take the territory, to conquer those giants, to tear down those fortified walls, to inherit the promise that had been given them.
And the more dedicated you get to the Lord, the closer you get to the Lord, the fewer close friends you'll have. You can just believe that.
Verse 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath? Of the children of Ammon, 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man.
I mean, think about this. Here he simply states that he was a survivor of the giants.
Mm-hmm.
His bed was made of iron, 13 and a half feet long. You convert the cubits into feet.
Yeah.
Pretty good sized bed. Okay? 6 feet wide. And at the time Deuteronomy was written, his bed was at Rabbah, which was a city of the Ammonites. There was evidence there. Okay?
We were talking today. That bed would not fit in many bedrooms today in houses. You got a 10 by 11 bedroom, that bed's not going in there. That's a big, can you imagine a giant that big? Something. Verse 12, and this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites, and the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants.
You know, we were looking at a map today showing this particular region that was given to Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. It's pretty significant territory.
Mm-hmm.
That's given to them on the east side of Jordan. And this is just 2.5 tribes. And then the remaining tribes get their inheritance on the west side of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's not a continent that God has given them, it's sufficient territory for them to dwell in with their population and multiply. People want to drive them out. Now, it's time that we stand up and support what God supports and oppose what God opposes.
That's right. Here's a test question for you. Which tribes received their inheritance east of the Jordan River? We just read that. Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 13? No. Where am I?
13.
Thank you. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, I think I read that. Verse 14. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coast of Geshurai and, let me get this, Maacathites, and called them after his own name, Bashan haveth Jair unto this day, and I gave Gilead unto Maker.
So all this region was called the region of the giants, and God gave this to this particular area to the Manasseh that she just read, these various places, and they changed the names of the city. And this is something new. You need to watch when you study, because you'll find in one place the city may be called by one name, in another place it's called by another name. It's not a contradiction. It's where they changed the name of the place.
That's good. Verse 16. And unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead, even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also, and Jordan, from the coast thereof, from Kinnereth, even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah, eastward.
So here you see the territory of Reuben and Gad. And to me, it's laid out, it's legal. How much more legal can you get than God? So there should be no question about this tribe owns this, this tribe owns this, this tribe owns that. Case closed.
I mispronounced this.
Sinnereth.
Sinnereth. Y'all make that mental note. Verse 18. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they have possessed the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall you return every man unto his possession, which I have given you.
Note that God giving this land was contingent upon them doing what they had sworn they would do. Moses questions them, well, they want to possess this land because they have cattle and it's good land, pasture land. And so they tell Moses, all right, if you give us this land, we will go over Jordan with the rest of the tribes, our armies. We'll go over and we will fight until the other tribes take their land. And so God tells Moses, all right, I'll give them that land, that you tell them that they have to keep their word is the essence of it. You go, you send your armies forth. These other tribes helped you get your territory. You help them get their territory. You understand, that's why we have to learn to work together. Ministries need to learn to work together instead of fighting one another. Mm-hmm. And drawing all these battle lines. What territory we're trying to take? We're just trying to get the kingdom of God established. You understand? We need to learn that God didn't send us here to build empires. God didn't send us here to build ministries. He sent us here to carry on a ministry that's already been established by Jesus. And so our role is to continue what Jesus started. And we need to work together in doing that. It doesn't mean we're all going to do the same thing. But we have to recognize other people's gifts and abilities, other people's area, their sphere of influence, the area that God's called them to. Instead of competing, let's complete and get the job done. And that's exactly what Moses has said. This is a complete nation. We can't divide the nation. Even though you have tribes, then you've got to work together. You think of the United States. I mean, we're divided up in states, but when it comes to war, we'd better unite and work together for the common cause, not fight against one another.
Very good. Verse 21, And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passeth. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you.
So this is an encouraging word. Mm-hmm. Moses knows that he's not going over. Joshua, God, he already knows, God has told him that Joshua is going to be his successor. And so what he does is encourages Joshua. He said, all right, you're going to go over and you're going to take these kingdoms, you're going to take these cities, you're going to take this land. You've seen what God's done on the east side. God will do the same on the west side. Don't you fear any of these nations. Because the Lord was going to fight for you over there like he's fought for us over here. So get fear out and get this I can't mentality out of the people. That's what kept the nation of Israel, first generation, from going into that promised land was they had an I can't mentality instead of an I can mentality. And Moses is trying... He's encouraging Joshua, you can do it.
Good.
Just do it. I like that. Just do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. That's how you get the job done. You can't be political. You do it. You don't talk. And you don't negotiate with the enemy. You drive the enemy out.
And you be like Boaz, and you don't rest until the thing is done.
I heard that.
Yeah. 23. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon.
So Moses is petitioning God. I've seen what you've done on this side.
Yeah.
I've seen your power. I've seen your might. I've seen your greatness. Just let me go over and look at this land that you promised. Let me see the Canaan land, okay, is the essence of it. But it doesn't work that way. God doesn't allow it. God's already drawn the line. As a matter of fact, God tells him, don't talk to me about it anymore. You're not going.
Yeah. You see that in verse 26. Let me read it to you.
Go ahead and read verse 26. I jumped ahead of you.
But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter.
So because Moses marred the type, instead of speaking to the rock, smiting the rock, because he was so upset with the people, and then he spoke irrationally, do we get you water out of the rock? No, God was given the water. And it's actually showing you the first time he struck the rock is depicting Jesus being crucified. Every other time after that, you speak to Jesus, you don't crucify him again. He struck once, don't strike him again. You speak. So he's marred the type. God says you can't go in and don't mention the matter to me anymore.
Verse 27. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan.
You want to talk about that? We had some several days of discussion over this, because he talks about the range, the Abram range, then he talks about Pisgah, and then he talks about Nebo.
Yes.
And, you know, you have the mountain range, like the Blue Ridge Parkway or the Great Smoky Mountains or whatever. That's the range. But then there are particular peaks on those ranges. You know, you see like a mountain here and a valley here and a mountain here. Pisgah being one of those, and then Nebo being the highest peak. And so God is telling him, go to the top of Pisgah, which would be Nebo, and then you can look out and you can see this area that I'm giving to the Israelites, but you can't cross the Jordan River.
So here's the test question for you. Moses pleaded with God to let him enter into the promised land, but God told him not to speak about the matter anymore. He told him to go to the top of, and here's your answer, Pisgah, and look to the north, south, east, and west. So your answer is Pisgah, and you can find it in that 27th verse in chapter 3. Verse 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see.
You know, this is an absolute statement. This is positive. It's not that God, Joshua is going to have the opportunity. He said Joshua is going over. They're going to take the land. They will inherit the land. Encouraging. It's good to encourage leadership every once in a while, you understand? You can do it. You just obey God. You do what God told you to do. We're with you. You understand?
Yeah.
And don't just say it, but do it.
So let me ask y'all a question. Who determined that Joshua would be Moses' successor? God, that's right. That's a test question. You're going to want to remember that God determined that Joshua would be Moses' successor.
There's so many principles in this Old Testament. If you just look at it, the people didn't vote on what to do. God told them what to do. Moses didn't come up with the idea of we should do this or we should do that. God came up with the idea, and God told Moses, and Moses' responsibility was to convey to the people what God told him. Well, that principle has not changed. God still expects his representatives to hear from him and tell people what he said instead of coming up with their own ideas. And that's a mouthful. Because it's violated constantly. Well, what will the people think? I remember saying that one time early on in ministry. The Lord told me to do something and I did it. And it went over like a lead balloon. And I just said, well, I wonder what the people thought of that. And immediately the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't you ever ask what the people think. You ask what I think. Now that'll sober you in a hurry. You understand? And so from that day forward, I haven't been putting surveys out on what the people think. I want to know what God thinks. And if nobody agrees, that's their problem. You go with God. You go with God.
And he lives by this. I see this example. He lives by this. And we should too. The good thing. Look at that last verse and it tells us where they were. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor.
Now this is by the Jordan River. In other words, when Moses is just summarizing, and this is what Deuteronomy is, Moses is summarizing what God has done and what God will do, and they're right there at the River Jordan. They don't have far to cross over. You understand? And so, he's at the end of his life. You understand? The 40 years are about to come to an end. Just like God told them, they were going to spend 40 years wandering around because of their disobedience of not doing what he told them to do in the first place. And so this time's coming to an end. So Deuteronomy, Moses is just recounting things. It's events that's already occurred. You understand? These things that he's talking about, Sihon and Og, these things have already happened. But he's just reminding them. It's good to be put in remembrance of the things that God has done to show you the faithfulness of God. God's been faithful to you on the east side. God will be faithful to you on the west side. You were unfaithful to God on the east side. Be faithful to God on the west side. You see what happened to that generation that was unfaithful.
Now, chapter 4. This chapter records Moses' discourse to the Israelites of the statutes and judgments that had been given to them, his charge for the people to follow God and to keep his commandments, his warning against idolatry, and his appointment of cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan River. Verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
And you know, if you want to bring that in to the principle to today, how does this apply to us today? It's very simple. If Moses were here today, he would say, all right, read your Bible. Do what the Bible says to do. You understand the law of Moses was the Word of God. And so when he's telling me, all right, you keep these commands of God. Okay? In other words, you do what God has instructed you to do. Well, that same thing still holds true to us today. This is the Word of God. We're to do what God has told us to do in His Word and stop saying it's not a relevant word. It is a relevant word. Quit trying to explain it away. My time's up. I'm going to have to stop here, okay? We'll pick back up after the break.